We're here this morning. Well, we were here earlier this morning to celebrate the resurrection, and we had our sunrise service, and we talked about how Jesus, all that was planned. He knew what was going on. He wasn't surprised, and we can count on him because he knows what's going on. And this morning, we're going to continue with the plan of talking about he is risen. When you look at the life of Christ, this is the pivotal event of our salvation. Because, yes, he died on the cross for our sins, but rising from the grave is kind of an exclamation point in the ministry and in the life of Christ, because it gives us hope. And as Paul points out, that if the resurrection doesn't happen, everything else is in vain. There's nothing to believe about anything else. And so, as we look at the resurrection, we're going to be looking through this text, and it says, after the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So when we look at the life of Christ and we see this event, we see the tomb that is now empty. And we see that the angel's proclamation of, again, that Jesus has risen from the grave. We look at this and we say, what is this all about? Well, it's a promise kept. The promise that he would do this. And Jesus keeps his promise. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you for the wonderful blessings that you have shown us in what Christ has done. As we come to remember this sacrifice of his life and the death of his death that he died for us, we come now to remember his resurrection and the life that has given us the opportunity to know you and know that you are God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When you look at the resurrection, you see that there are a lot of witnesses to the resurrection, because it wasn't just a one-day event. If you read Scripture, he made his appearance known for over 40 days, and over 500 people witnessed Jesus' resurrected body. He ate with the disciples. He even fed them. You know, I was talking about this morning, if we really want to have an Easter breakfast or a resurrection breakfast, we should have fish and grits. Because, well, not grits. We don't have to really do the grit thing, but at least fish. Because that's what Jesus provided when he appeared to his disciples at that great catch. So we see that there are witnesses to this resurrection event. There is one event in all of history that can neither be fully explained, because let's face it, not too many people rise from the dead, especially after 3 days. So when scientists try to wrap their minds and use their intellect to try to understand the resurrection, it comes short, because oftentimes they leave out the power of God in their explanation. God is part of this equation. You cannot look for a formula to understand the resurrection without including the power of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. Because those two parts are the foundational in understanding the resurrection. We see this in the events that surround. When you look at the example of the angel, I kind of look at this this version of the events that happen I'm kind of amused with it a little bit. It says there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. Kind of saying like, no stone's too big for my God. And that's true, because there is no stone that's too big for our God. And when he's there, his appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. Now, I've seen some white clothes, but that's really white. My first experience with snow was when I moved up to Toccoa, Georgia, and my first year living in Toccoa, it snowed pretty heavy that year, and it was early. It was an early snow. I think it was around late November, because it was unexpected that we would get this snow. But I was really amazed with this snow. I mean, we had little snows in Jacksonville, but nothing compared to what happened in Toccoa that year. What amazed me about that snow is how white it was at night. You know, the snow was almost like glowing out there. And you could see a little bit further than what you normally could see without the snow on the ground. The snow almost lit up a little bit. It was pretty cool. It was pretty amazing to picture that. And we see here the angels lighting up the announcement that Jesus has risen from the grave. So we see in the life of Christ, there's two points in which the angels proclaim. They proclaimed his birth, and they proclaimed his resurrection. They didn't proclaim his death, because Jesus wasn't going to stay dead. The proclamation that they bring is the proclamation of new life. The life in the birth, and the life in the resurrection. So we look at all this and we say, wow, Jesus has risen from the dead, just as he promised would happen. We look and the angels try to comfort the women there. The angels said to them, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He was dead, but now he's alive. In Luke's version, it says, do not look for the living among the dead. He is not here, he is risen. As he said, come and see the place where he lay, then go and quickly tell his disciples what has happened. In this, we see heaven and earth proclaim the risen Savior. The teachers of the law tried to seal him in. They even went after they put him in the tomb and they sealed it. They even went to the Roman authorities and said, hey, he keeps promising, he was promising when he was alive that he was going to rise from the grave. So you may want to be careful, and you might want to put some guards there to protect his body. They wanted to keep him dead. They were concerned that somebody would come in from the outside and steal his body away. So the Roman government comes in and they seal the tomb and they put a seal with the signet ring to seal it, which means that if that seal was broken, it would mean death for whoever who was to break that seal. But yet, you can't kill the living, the eternal living. Because it wasn't just anybody who who broke that seal. It was the angel of the Lord. The stone wasn't meant to be moved. It was meant to stay. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. See for yourself, but don't keep it to yourself. Luke chapter 24, verses 5 through 6 says, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day he will rise, be raised again." So we see in this that Jesus kept his word. And the people had to be reminded. And then we see there will always be doubters. When you look at the life of Christ and you look at your life in Christ, you will always see doubters. The teachers of the law doubted Jesus rising from the grave. People will doubt Christ in you. Doubters are always coming, and doubters will always be. They doubted Christ's ministry when he was here. They doubt when people come to Christ. There will always be doubters. Next week, as we continue kind of going through this idea of the resurrection, we're going to continue with talking about different parts of the resurrection for a little while. Because when you think of the resurrection just didn't happen in one day. The resurrection took place over a series of events that kept going even after, up until the ascension. And then after the ascension, the promise of the giving of the Holy Spirit. But when you look at the different people who play a part in the resurrection, you have one good example that I think we all identify with, doubting Thomas, as he's referred to. Let's face it, it's been over 2,000 years since Jesus rose from the grave, and we still can't wrap our heads around the fact that he did it. We still have issues with trying in our scientific minds and in our ideas of who we think, all the things we think we know. We try to explain it by using all these different equations, different ideas of how it could have happened. Well, he really wasn't dead. He was just knocked out. He was just unconscious for a while. Then he was placed in the tomb. And when they came to bring the herbs and to bury him, those revived him. There's all kinds of ideas that are out there. Oh, it wasn't really Jesus that was crucified. It was actually Simon. When they put the cross on Simon, the Cyrene, from Cyrene, he was the one that actually died on the cross. Jesus kind of slipped away. There's all kinds of ideas to try to explain away the crucifixion and the resurrection. But I tell you this morning, those are just ideas that aren't true. Jesus did die on the cross on Calvary. Jesus did die and was laid in a tomb. And Jesus rose from the grave. And Jesus is now seated with his Father in all authority in heaven and on earth. Has been given to him. And he has given us the opportunity to be partakers of that which he has done. Because just as he has overcome the grave, we have that hope in his resurrection that one day we will spend all eternity with him. That's our hope. It is assured to us in Christ Jesus. So conclusion is this: something new has begun in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. The new that is eternal, everlasting, will not see decay, because Jesus rose from the grave. This morning, do you have that hope? Do you have that confidence in the message of God's salvation? Are you assured that you have accepted his resurrection? Now, I know it's still a little hard to understand. There's so many ideas out there of how to try to explain it away, or how to deal with the resurrection. But there's only one idea that matters. There's only one that we can count on, and that's the Word of God. It has been tested and it has been approved. And it tells us with assurance that Jesus rose from the grave. It also tells us that there was over 500 witnesses of his resurrection. He did many other miraculous signs, more than could ever be contained in a simple book. But we have these to be confident in and to be assured of what's to come. And we have the hope that is available to us because of what he has done for each and every one of us. To be confident in the resurrection, share the message of the resurrection, the hope that you have, because it should bring you all hope. Because one day we will stand before the Father, and he will see us not in our filthy rags, but he'll see us clothed in Christ's righteousness. And he'll welcome us into his eternal dwelling for all eternity. What a beautiful opportunity we have in Christ Jesus. Remain confident in that hope. Do not sink back, as Scripture says. Keep pressing forward with your hope in Jesus Christ. He paid it all for you. He did it all so that we may live eternally. One of the things we can be sure of is this: just as he kept the promise of his resurrection, he is to return. He will be back. He will be gathering his flock to him. And there will be some who said, Lord, we prophesied in your name, we did all these miraculous signs, and his response is, but I never knew you. Why? Because they don't look at the book as authority in their lives. Make this the authority of your life. Make this book, the Bible, the Word, may it be the lamp unto your feet, the light unto your path, that you might not sin against God. May this book direct your thoughts, direct your ideas, direct your understanding of all things. Because through this book, we also have the gift that keeps on giving, the Holy Spirit, that will teach us all things if we trust him who is leading us. Through this. Let's pray.